want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
All right, that's what happens when the button goes where you want it to. Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 461, recorded live on July 26, 2016. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With
Scott Burks.
And Cast 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. And yes, thank you for correcting. It is the 27th. Wow, it's just one of those things. We are under a heat index here in North Kakalaki, and I don't know the way the rest of the country is right now. I know there were 37 states about a week ago that were under heat warnings. It has a heat index right now until this time tomorrow over 110 degrees.
Wow.
And it's like you go outside right now and it's like trying to breathe through a sponge. It's just, oh, I love that. Oh, I hate that. God, yeah, you can't
we had
breathe.
That over the weekend.
Oh, no fun. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was saying 110 degrees on my thermometer on the way home today. So.
Man, it's just something.
No, and, it's beautiful here. 80s, lower 80s, gorgeous.
Oh, man, we would give a left troll or something.
We had
for that.
We had hot weather of the weekend, but now it's beautiful. Well, we're supposed to get rain, I think, tonight.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, we're almost in that Florida pattern where you go out and it gets into about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock range, and the thunderstorms start rolling through, and then everything kind of settles down by about 8, and then on it goes. Yeah. But
the dinner time storm.
Oh yeah, yeah. But they've been pretty wild. I did a Periscope, matter of fact, a couple nights ago with one.
No, you did it last night. I watched it.
Well, that's right. It was last night. Yeah. It all blurs. You know what?
It was literally me and my two kids standing outside Dairy Queen eating ice cream watching your video. That's what we did. Literally, we had my phone propped up on the windowsill.
It was kind of cool.
It was. My kids were mesmerized by the lightning.
Yeah, it was really neat. And it was more heat lightning than anything. The cell was actually coming in, but a lot of heat and lightning in the background. So it was kind of neat to watch.
It reminded me a little bit of Twister because I heard the ding-a-ling.
Oh, the wind chimes and all that? Yeah.
It was kind of freaking me out a little bit, like a little waiting for the Twister.
Yeah, you start hearing that low bass music come in. You're all set. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that kind of got my brain in a twist is the Mission GC. If you guys got your mention, if you're a premium member, you get it a week early. Yeah. So I think it was on the 22nd they actually send it. And
yeah, I got it.
And like Scott Burks, and I'll speak for Scott in this one. I looked at it and went, duh, I don't know.
Did you see my Facebook post, or
are you
just assuming?
No, I'm just assuming.
It took me about 5 minutes to solve it.
Did it? Oh, shut up.
I looked at it, and I saw Gary Slinker had something about it. I'm like, anybody want to tell me how to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Same here.
I would say somebody personal messaged me how to do it.
Yeah, I literally looked. If you do go into the comments for the section, eventually, you will see somebody give away.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
how to figure it out.
Somebody emailed me what the answer was. Somebody actually emailed me the answer.
The bottom of the first license plate, which says A6 is G.
Yes,
is what gave it away for me.
Really, that gave it away. The shift didn't do that part for you.
That's just too much work.
It was.
I'm busy with school. She can't solve it. So.
Oh, man. I looked at that, and I go, I don't even. And I tried. I mean, seriously, I started looking through ciphers. I tried to go through Googling to try to figure out at least.
Way too hard, dude. Come on. You're a pseudo-celebrity.
Well, it's nice. Somebody help me.
Somebody tell me how to do it.
Exactly. But I got to at least try. And, and the funny part was, it wasn't – I won't give it away unless you want to. If you want to email me, we'll tell you. But literally somebody gave the final clue because I still – after they told me how to do it, mm-hmm. I still didn't figure it out. I still couldn't get the thing to work like it was supposed to. It just didn't make sense. Until
admittedly, I took the information from the first, the third, and the fourth license plate and pushed that together and tried to use that and – I was like, why isn't this working? Because
yes.
The second license plate didn't make sense until I actually kind of stepped back and looked at it. I was like, well, by George, I think I got it.
Yes. Yes. And actually the third license plate, the orange one, is you have to figure out what they mean by that too, because you'll sit there, you'll figure out, and they'll tell you this is how you're supposed to figure it out, and you go, well, that just doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. Until you figure out what the license plate means. So, yes. Mm-hmm. So anyways, did figure it out and go through there. But, man, I put way too much time looking into this going, oh, come on, there's got to be something.
I got it in like 7 minutes.
Fine. Hey, I'll admit it. I am terrible.
I just got it. I just got the answer in 7 minutes.
It took that long for the email to come to you.
Yeah, I literally put it out there, went downstairs, got a water, came up, and it was sitting in my inbox.
It's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So anyways, yes, excellent stuff. Should be an interesting. Now, the big thing is going out and actually finding what they want you to find.
Yeah.
And
that shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
I've got about 30 caches picked out that are near an event that I'm going to.
Oh, so you're all
on
set.
The weekend that he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I can hit one of those.
All right, good stuff. So actually, it's kind of a cool idea. I like that they at least are doing this because, everybody likes that right around August time to have something to do. Sure. And so they're coming up with this.
That they're doing it?
Yeah, this weekend for the first one.
And the second one's West Bend weekend too, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it is. Yeah. Speaking of West Bend, we're going to be having Craig on next week.
Oh, you're kidding. Are we really? Craig?
Yes. So
I just emailed with Craig the other day.
Awesome. So yeah, we'll do that, and I'll let Scott just go because he's like the West Bend guru. Oh,
me and Walt. 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Saturday, main stage, sixth year in a row.
Wow.
How about that? 6 years.
That's it. Oh, by the way, I do have one thing, Scott, since I'm done with mine, and I'll let you take your part. But Cubs already, I'm just saying.
What's the score of the game right now?
I didn't even look.
Cubs are playing the White Sox. That's why I'm curious. Right now the Cubs are playing the White Sox, and it's for anybody who's not from Chicago or never been to Chicago, you know, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox, as you can probably assume, it's a heated rivalry.
Yes.
You know, and what they have is they have the Crosstown Classic, which is a cup that they had made,
right?
And whoever wins the series gets the cup for the year, kind of thing,
right?
And so, it's only counted for about 10 years, maybe. You know, the Cubs and Sox used to play one game a year. This is before interleague play started. How long interleague play been going on?
Give or take.
And so, before that, the Cubs would play the Sox once, and the game obviously didn't count at all. It was just a game, you know, and that's when he had the Crosstown Cup. But then the game started counting. You know,
right.
Now they play three at Wrigley and three at the Cell for interleague play. So they count now. So now it's even bigger. You know, it's insane. My dad went the other day and he said it was crazy. So
I just don't want to go through what we went through last year. I'm just saying. What? When we got to the very end and things did not things did not go well.
The Cubs are losing.
Okay.
That's what they're doing. Yeah. No, you know, the Sox fans could talk all much crap as they want because, you know what, only one of those teams is going to be playing in October.
Oh, yeah.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a fact. That's how it goes.
Yeah, the Cubs are doing good. Cubs are making some good trades, too. They're doing good.
All right. That's excellent.
So, you know what, I'm not a real a-hole when it comes to the Cubs. If they win, great. If they don't, I mean, they're going to win it in the next 5 years. So
I came from Detroit, man. I had the Lions for football. Come on.
Won a World Series in the last century.
Yeah.
Literally the last century.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. I remember 68 for the Tigers. I remember 84 for the Tigers. Yeah. I don't remember anything else for the Tigers.
Tigers, I don't think I've won it since then.
I don't think so. And then I got the Lions, so, you know.
I remember the Tigers started that one season, like 0-18. I remember that.
Yeah.
Detroit doing that.
And then not so good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the Cubs, for Christ's sake. You know, so speaking of the Cubs, me and Jesse, we took the kids to the Cub game over the weekend. We were in Milwaukee. Went to Milwaukee to go to a Brewers game. The Brewers were playing the Cubs.
Oh, awesome.
First time I've ever seen the Cubs is the away team.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was 120 degrees in the stadium. It was so hot. The kids had a blast. For a kid's first major league game, they absolutely loved it.
Yep.
And it was a lot of fun, you know, getting out there and going to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing the game from, I don't know if everybody's probably been to, most people hearing this probably never been to Miller Park, but it's a beautiful, huge stadium. And they got the dome that opens up.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was raining when we got there, so the dome was closed, but then it stopped raining, so they opened the dome. Literally, as the game's going on, they're opening the,
oh,
opening
neat.
The roof of the dome. Yeah, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you still have to put out a second mortgage to go to a baseball game?
Not a really, really, yes, but not to Miller Park. You know, I mean, the Brewers are horrible.
Yeah.
So when I tell you the entire crowd was Cub fans,
yeah.
I mean, they were booing the home team. Like, home team booed off the like everybody, it was all Cub fans.
Wow.
It was completely ice. Oh, my God. It was insane. Why? Because it's so much cheaper than Wrigley.
Right.
And it's for us out here, it's closer than Wrigley.
Yeah.
It's roughly about the same. Roughly about the same distance. But if I can go there and it's cheaper. I mean, tickets are half. I paid half of what I would have paid to go to Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know.
See, that's why I went to I didn't go to the Tiger games at all. I always went down to Toledo and watched the Mud Hens. And just had a great time there, where you got, you know, a dollar drink and, you know, a dollar hot dog, and away you go. You don't have to fork over your car pink slip to get.
Well, we take the kids to the Kane County Cougar games, which is, I live in Kane County. We actually have a baseball team that the Cubs were affiliated with, and now it's the now they're affiliated with Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
but for years it was the Cubs.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. But we're 3 miles from the stadium.
Yeah, you can't beat that. All right, baseball fans, there you go. We got, got things going.
It was a hot weekend. Saw the Cubs play. I had a great time. You know, did a little bit of catching. More, actually, you know, sadly, more Pokemon going than geocaching.
Yes. Yeah.
It's easier, you know, it's easier to do. It's not really easier to do, but when you have the kids, it's easier to do.
Oh, yeah, it's right there, and away you go. It's
instant. The kids have a lot more fun with it than they do geocaching. You know?
Sometimes.
So, I mean, I took the kids out yesterday, you know, before we watched your video.
Yeah.
I was with the kids, Pokemon going, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids had a great time.
That's awesome.
Pokemon going. And so this weekend, mucho geocaching. I am like 23 caches away from 14,000.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to go get that this weekend. No kids this weekend. And so hitting those woods this weekend. That's
excellent. We want to hear about next week. All right, Mr. Tad, how about yourself?
I managed to get out and grab a few puzzle caches and multi and an event and even a traditional out there. A first to find traditional to boot.
Nice.
Those are always nice. And then I had more than my fair share of DNS. Especially on several puzzle caches
that haven't
been found in, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, and you're like, is it still here? You have no friggin' idea.
So they didn't have a way of checking the cords instead of hoping for the best?
Oh, the cords are verified.
Yeah.
I just DNF'd the cache because I couldn't find the friggin' thing.
Wow.
And one of them I had, we had six people looking for it. We all, you know, knew where it's, you know, the coordinates were, but couldn't find the cache. We think, pretty sure that one's gone.
Wow.
Yeah, what's the difficulty on that?
I think it was a 4.5, 1.5. So the train was 1.5. So the puzzle was a very hard puzzle. So I'm sure that's where the difficulty comes. This guy, his hides don't tend to be too difficult. Yeah, I've done a number of his hides, and you know, I've never had any problems finding them if they're there.
Oh, so okay. So you know the hider.
Yeah, I know the hider, and he loves to put out these fake logs with a cut in the top that sure. twist oh, yeah. twist off.
Sure.
Those yeah. are usually his hard hides.
Oh boy.
You know, I spot yeah. those a mile away, and
sure. Especially when there's no snow on top of them to see.
Yeah, like, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. All right.
But,
good.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone that was there knew his hide style for similar things, and there wasn't too much around, so it's like, yeah, after a half an hour of six people looking, you're like,
oh yeah, you had some eyes going then. All right.
How much time did you give that thing?
Half an hour.
Half an hour with six people?
With wow. six people.
Wow.
Yeah, that loses the fun factor really quick.
Yeah, that's a fun factor killer. Right
there. Well, the other one that we went and found, which I had actually found a couple months earlier, I literally sat down on the bench because it's called Have a Seat, and mm-hmm. and the coordinates kind of put it right in the middle of a path. But the Have a Seat kind of implies that it might be on the bench. Everyone's sure. looking on the bench and stuff, and it's like, I tell you what, guys, it's not on the bench. The hint is, have a seat. And I just sat down, and I kind of stared about 20 feet away mm-hmm. at this big rock. It's on the other side of this freaking big rock. Finally, someone got the clue, and, oh, I'm going to go look over here.
Wow. Hey, you got a little projection there going.
But if I saw a have a seat clue, I would think, okay, it's underneath the...
Right.
It's all in perspective, literally. All in perspective.
When I found it, that's where I first looked, and then my phone, I got a text from my son telling me that, you know, we're done at the bike park, come pick us up. And so I was like, I sat down, I was like, just to write a text, it's like, I'll be there in a few minutes. And as I'm done sending the text, I look up and I see that rock, I'm like,
Gotta check.
Let me go check behind that rock before I leave.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is Randomized 48. You know, I think they really need to give up the Roman symbols by now. You know, I think it's what when did they change Roman into symbols? Super Bowls? Was it 50 they stopped doing that?
No, they still do it.
Do they?
What about WrestleMania? I don't think WrestleMania does.
No, I don't think WrestleMania does anymore. I think they just 50 numbers.
Is an L, so it was, that one was simple.
Let's see. Chris and Daryl have another, and this is a quote, heaping batch of smaller subjects to discuss this week.
Who's on the show?
I don't know. You tell me. You were on last week,
dude. I'm on for like 3 weeks in a row. In one section. Literally, it's insane. It's ridiculous.
The love boat.
And then I'm on, and it's like, and now did you? Our show got cut off.
So did it really?
Yeah, me and Land Monkey, we were debating about GPI services.
Yeah,
which I was totally winning. Totally winning. And, you know, screw Land Monkey. I was totally
there right. You go.
And he was all prepared. I totally flew off the cuff, and I was totally beating him, too.
Oh, excellent.
And Daryl's power went out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yeah, so he got like 25 minutes of it, and, you know, and Daryl and...
So how did Land Monkey remotely turn off his power? Right.
And so Daryl and... And the bad cop were scoring, and I was totally winning.
Oh, totally, see,
totally. Yeah, you can't fight the GPSR.
No, man,
he had
GPSR
and smartphone. You can't compete with that.
That's a good debate. I love that one. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were having fun. You know, but it's when all I mean, and I prefaced it with I'm a GPSR guy.
Yeah.
But I'm fighting for the smartphone, and I'm gonna win.
Yeah.
You know, but. But if I'm in the woods, I prefer a GPSR. I mean, I use a smartphone all the time to geocache. You know, Cache is one of my favorite apps on the planet.
Right.
But like, if I'm in the woods, deep in the woods, I want a GPSR.
I want to get home, so that's why I have a GPSR.
It's just old school caching, man.
Yep.
I'm an old school. You know, so what's sad? What's becoming with geocaching as I'm getting older and as I'm watching this game that we love progress?
Yep.
Is that like I'm turning into an old school cacher? I'm turning into tuning an IC it to a guy that taught me. He was an old school cacher back in 2008. Which, FYI, I just crossed my 8-year milestone.
Hey, congrats!
Was my geo birthday.
Awesome.
And, when Ivan taught me how to geocache, he was an old schooler. He taught me, you know, how to find that deer trail, how to, you know, what everything looked like, what the bad stuff looked like, what poison ivy looked like. And he was an old school. He wasn't a skirt lifter. He still isn't a skirt lifter. I'm still friends with Ivan to this day. We still go geocaching every year. But this geocaching is the only time he ever lifts a skirt. Other than that, he's not lifting skirts. You know? And so, but like, he's an old school. Let's get dirty. He's when I go for an Ivan cache, I know I'm either climbing 30 feet up a tree or he's taking me a mile and a half into the woods.
There you go.
He's an old school cacher. You know,
it should be.
And I think I'm becoming that. I think I am. I'm like in my old geocaching age. I'm becoming that. Like,
it looks good on you, sir.
I'd rather go into the woods.
Yeah.
You know, than lift 20 skirts.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd rather find 5 in the woods than 40.
I couldn't agree with you more.
40 parking grabs. Yeah. You know?
All right.
It's weird how your tastes change.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're starting to get older.
Yep. You know? So, anyways, Randomize 48 tomorrow on GeoGearheads. And on the GeoSimbits Reboot podcast, wife Amy and I are going to be discussing night caching. So, that'll be a lot of fun. We haven't talked about that in a bit.
Night caching.
Okay. So, this should be a lot of fun. She hasn't got a clue on most of it, which makes it so much fun to talk about.
Has she ever gone night caching?
She's done geocaches at night. She has not gone night caching.
Okay.
What's a StarTAC?
Yes, exactly. So we're going to be learning about that and all sorts of other things tomorrow on a GeoSnippets
Reboot. She's never found a night cache before?
Oh, not like that. Not like going on a trail or whatever. And,
really?
And, yeah, no. So it should be a lot of fun going over some of the stuff with that.
Do you have any around you?
Oh, yeah, we've got some. I just don't think we've ever actually gone out.
So you don't have them either.
It's either I've gone through several, but it's the there's lots of critters out there where a lot of these are.
I think GeoSnippets Reboot needs like a live in the field show.
She did it last week. Did you hear
that? I know that, but I'm talking about like you take her with and you guys go do a night cache.
Oh yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Scare the bejesus out of her every chance you can.
And it's like, where'd Amy go? It's only a swamp. Don't worry about it. We'll find her eventually.
There's only a gator.
It's only a gator or two.
Yeah, meanwhile, speaking of gators, I know I'm totally off topic.
Yes.
Did you see Snoop Dogg doing the gator thing today?
No.
There is a meme out there. It's on my Facebook if you follow me on Facebook. There is a video of Snoop Dogg narrating a gator video, which is the funniest thing on the planet.
That sounds awesome.
It is.
Get the link and we'll put it in the show notes and we'll.
I gotta get the link. It's on my Facebook.
Yeah. All right. Or Scott Burke's Facebook. All right. Let's move on to this part. Please, please, please consider throw us money. Give us money. We'll cut this short. Just send us money. Tens, twenties, fifties. I don't care.
That's
throw us money.
Come down and just give us money.
Just give us money. We love you. And it helps do the podcast. So we're going to move on from there. Let's see. Tonight's episode, Geocaching Podcast episode 461. Do you realize we've got less than 40 episodes before we hit 500? 40 episodes.
Yeah, but that's like a year, isn't
it? Less than a year.
Is that less than a year?
Less than a year. So sometime, I think April, May-ish next year, we're going to have to actually – we're going to have to find Andy. I think we're going to have to rub two sticks together because he's in the way in the country now.
Who?
Andy Lehman, X-Punk X. So
no,
he's way out there. So we'll have to like send him some wires or something to have him get in with us. We'll do that and get everybody together. So anyways, we're at episode 461, Setting Geocaching Expectations to a Muggle. I showed Scott earlier today, and Chad, did you get a chance to actually see that video?
Not yet.
Okay, there's a video that I don't know if you guys know. I know our guys know, but you guys out there in geocaching land know Joshua, the geocaching vlogger. He's huge in YouTube. Very fun guy, good friend, and he has this amazing personality. Just lights up a room kind of personality. There is a lady, and I'm going to totally screw up her name, and I hope I don't tick her off. I'm going to spell it. Her name's first name's Lisa, and her last name is either Foiles. It's F-O-I-L-E-S. So,
Foiles.
Huh?
Foiles.
I'm going to say Foiles, too, because that's what it is. So Lisa Foiles, she is a female Joshua. She has got a great personality. She's amazing.
Or is Joshua a male her?
I don't know. They're about the same age.
Who came first?
Is there a wig involved? I don't know. But they're amazingly funny.
I don't think they're the same age. Josh was like my age, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Is he younger?
He's younger. He's still youngish.
Yeah, he's got like kids.
Yes, he does. Like he's old done. Kids. Yeah, he's not like 20 young, but he's young. I'm the old fart, so I can say stuff like that.
I'm guessing Joshua's mid to upper 30s.
I would say that's a good guess. That's a good guess. Yeah. We had him on the show a couple weeks ago. We should have asked him.
I know. I'm guessing her mid 20s.
I'm thinking, and she's just got this sparkly, wonderful personality. Anyway, she put out a video called Pokemon Go versus Geocaching. She actually talked and is a geocacher. She actually talked about in the old days when they used to have to print out MapQuest maps, and that tells you that's old school to do that. So anyway, she put out this really cool video, and it went about the pros and cons of both geocaching and Pokemon Go, and some of the stuff that she brought in there just absolutely. And you're gonna have to see the video. The link will be in the show notes. The way that she was talking about, you know, nothing like geocaching, having a physical container in your hand, except when it's an old shoe. Or, you know, she actually found a geocache in a park where there were 200 other Pokemon Go players where they weren't there a week ago, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other part was she found the geocache. It was an old GLAD container. And you know what happens to the old GLAD containers over time.
It's funny to see that.
Yeah, so instead of showing the nice, pristine, wonderful, this is geocaching kind of thing, she pulled out an old, you know, muddy Woodstock character and said, I'm going to trade this for this, you know, and went on with that. So, and then the final thing that she had talked about it was in Pokemon Go, you're not going to have to open up a box of spiders. Right. We've all done that. We have all been there. So the idea I thought would be kind of cool, because she really, in her the way of presenting it, she shows what geocaching actually is like, not necessarily the way a lot of people would love to present geocaching. Because if you try to explain to a muggle and try to set the expectations, are you going to sit there and say opening up a box of spiders as your prefront to explain enough how you want to go geocaching. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would kind of be interesting for a discussion tonight to just kind of set the geocaching expectations for muggles of what usually gets sent and said about geocaching and what actually happens. So I just got a couple of ideas down, and guys, you can feel free to chime in anytime you want with this. Mm-hmm. The Dirty Duck or the Woodstock is definitely one of the things. When you go geocaching and you talk about this amazing scavenger hunt that you go out and you find these containers, and inside is all this wonderful swag, and there is cool swag out there.
Sure.
What do you mostly find?
Crap. McDonald's
crap.
Happy Deal toys.
Waterlogged McDonald's toys.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, you're one of the main requisites for geocaching is you sign a log.
Yeah.
It is not this wonderful booklet of joy and happiness that you open up, and you do find the ones out there that are well protected, very well protected.
Oh, sure.
And there are stories and poems and all sorts of thoughts of your adventures of getting to this particular geocache. What do you normally find?
Normally, you find a wet log that's a piece of paper. You know, if you find any pieces of paper, usually, you know, if they're not mushed together into a mush.
Yes.
If someone was smart, they put the log in a baggie. But usually, 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, the technical term is goo.
Goo.
It's just paper mache before it hardens.
Yeah. I mean, and here's even the sadder part is that, like, in this day and age, as I was just talking about 5 minutes ago, you don't even see regulars out in the woods anymore.
No.
You know, unless it's from 2006, 2007, 2008, how many regulars you see anymore? Now you're seeing.
I haven't placed a regular in 5 years. I haven't put a regular out in 5 years.
You personally?
Yeah, personally. I've had over 120 geocaches that I put out in my career. Most of them were regulars and smalls. I had put down very few micros.
I think I'm in the 120s, 130s for putting out caches.
Yeah.
The only regulars I've ever put out are milestone caches.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. But I put out a whole series of dragons in ammo boxes. Okay, I take it back. That was earlier than that. That was a couple of years ago.
But we're old schoolers.
Yeah.
The newbies, they never put out. All you're seeing now are pill bottles in the woods. Something regulated that size. We're getting ammo cans. You don't see ammo cans at all anymore.
Yeah.
But you're not seeing.
Amy found that first to find. She left the show last week on Juice Snippets Reboot podcast. End of the show. We were midway end of the show. First to find showed up. She says, "I'm out of here." Took off.
Was it a regular?
And no, it was a skirt hide, and it was literally just a pill bottle. Not even camouflage, not even anything. Just here is a pill bottle with a piece of paper in it.
Well, we always do that for a skirt. Yeah, absolutely. I don't camouflage a skirt hide.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to scare. No, I'm not going to say it. Anyways, with the yes, pill bottles, I guess, would be better to do like that, open and exposed.
But my point being is that, like, swag, you don't even see that much swag anymore.
No.
That's becoming a thing in the past.
I found a large exactly. 2 weeks ago. I was so excited. Here's this great big box. Everything's cool. It was actually pristine inside. It was so pristine because nothing was in it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Right. For a large...
That's a crime.
That is a crime.
Yeah.
So I ended up dumping half of my swag bag. And it's like, here, you know,
somebody's
got to find something.
Should. Absolutely. Good job.
Yeah.
For the record, really quickly, as we were talking, I texted Joshua.
Oh, did you?
I said, what's your age? We're debating it on the show. How old do you think he is?
Joshua, I'll say 39. 35.
38.
All right. Excellent.
Here's old Joshua.
All right.
I don't know if we outed him on the show. It's not cool anymore.
He's 38. Come on, we got Julie over or Lisa over here. That's she's much younger.
I think you're cool, Josh. I do.
I do too, I've eaten White Castles with that man.
I don't have near as many cache hides as you guys have, but I would say that at least half of my hides are. I would consider real quality hide, something that when you go out there, you're like, yeah, good job, as opposed to utter crap that I've seen recently.
Yeah. Now,
most of mine are crap.
The best swag that I have ever found was, and it's been a while, this is like 6-7 years ago, the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh, North Carolina, put out 12 geocaches in the parks around the area, and they filled it with swag from the museum.
My
favorite prize swag, I dumped my entire bag for it, was a prehistoric shark tooth, an actual prehistoric shark tooth for swag. That is my absolute favorite out of all of it. You don't see that much anymore
I know. I mean, right. I think 6 years ago Buffalo Grove did a multi, but it was like puzzle multi where it's like, and that's an old suburb I used to live in. They did a puzzle multi thing where it's like you did all these caches, and then you got answers to each one, and then you solved the puzzle at the end. And each cache had like Buffalo Grove patches in it and stickers and pencils, and at the end you got a Buffalo Grove coin, which is really nice. Like a Park District coin. But I thought that was really nice that they actually did that. Like, each cache had that kind of swag in it.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
And that about is the only swag nowadays that you really get are the trails and the coins. Are about the only guaranteed swag that if they give out, that's decent. I mean, I did a blog post, God, years ago, of things that you would find in a geocache. Mm-hmm. And people would – I mean, in Germany, it was not – unusual to find a golden Krugerrand. I mean,
really?
There were there's things in different parts of the country where people would put. I mean, you remember the times people thought there were stories, but they did actually happen. You would find an actual GPS unit as a prize, or you would find.
Oh, everyone's found a camera.
Yeah,
there's a digital camera.
Yeah, there's all sorts of goodies that back then that used to be the wow factor.
Sure. Yeah,
of. you know, the odds of you hitting it are, you know, rare, but it was out there. Mm-hmm. And the stories were amazing. Nowadays, not so much. I don't think people even talk about it as much anymore.
You, sometimes you'll get someone with a nice first to find prize. I know I've put out unactivated geocoins as first to find prizes on a couple of my caches that I put out.
Yeah, but even then, that's waned. First to find prizes are rare.
Yeah, I had two good first to finds. One first to find prize, a digital camera.
Uh huh.
And the second first five prize, I had like a $25 movie thing, like to AMC or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, like, I had to go to a movie with somebody, you know. For
I remember one of the ones that I put out, and the guys, the first to find was a father and his two daughters, and I kid you not, I put a $50 Toys R Us gift card.
Wow,
as a prize for it.
Nice.
And he said it was like Christmas for them. Yeah. To come in and find something like that. I was so tickled to death, and because I wanted to put something out with some meaning, so people could actually say, yes, I actually found something cool in a geocache. And you know, they loved it.
Oh, go ahead. And I don't want to get so off topic, but here's another good topic for the show is has geocaching's popularity destroyed the game? Because this is one of the things. Like,
yes.
Has this done it? You know, because, you know, as it's gotten more popular, it's, you know, the type of caches have been watered down.
Right.
You know, you're not seeing regulars anymore. You're not seeing swag anymore. You're not seeing this stuff anymore. And that's because, you know, it's been overrun with
quick and easy
lamp skirts and lamp skirts and pill bottles.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then groundspeak, you know, becoming, you know, to me, it's the pussification of America. I've been talking about this numerous times. You know, with the whole challenge caches, and like, oh, it's too difficult. Oh, okay, we'll change it. You know, like, really, it's supposed to be difficult. That's what challenge means.
Yes, it's exactly right.
Well, I mean, you know, so like the whole, like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that because it's, you know, it's deemed, air quote, too difficult. You know, well, if I did it, it's definitely not too difficult.
Right.
You know? I mean, if somebody's done it, it's doable.
Yes.
You know? I mean, sure, you know, they can't, you know, I'm totally going to go off on a tangent.
No, that's all
right. Right now. But, like, you know, it's the whole, like, you know, like, you know, if you have to, you know, vary your day, then you can't do it. Well, that's kind of the fun, is varying your day.
Exactly.
Like, only going for, you know, I did one where I could only, I did a challenge where I had to find 100 non-traditionals in a row, or one where I had to do 100 micros or 100 non-micros. You know how hard that was?
Yeah.
Doing 100 non-micros?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, think about that, in a row.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's difficult to do, but I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely had to vary my caches, but I did it because it was part of a challenge.
Right.
You know, it was called the anti-micro challenge is what the cache was
called. And I'm sure the Dirtbag Geocaching Society would agree.
Yeah, they would have loved it.
They would have loved it.
The anti-micro challenge, it was 100 non-micros in a row, and I did it, and I got the challenge. But that would be deemed, oh, my God, bad.
Now, is that make it, when it comes to setting, and notice the transition, setting the expectations to a muggle with the way changes are now, is geocaching as much enticing now because it's kind of getting watered down than it was back then? And is that going to make a muggle want to go out geocaching or not want to go out geocaching?
I think it's enticing to see. I don't know. Chaz, what do you think?
So I don't think challenges are enticing to new cachers. I think they're more enticing to people who have been around for a long time. So I wouldn't take a new cacher to a challenge cache. I would find something with high favorite points, or something that you've gone to and it's like, hey, this is a cool cache. I lucked out when I took my team out geocaching, and we found 5 caches, and they were all quality caches.
Right.
I was shocked that I managed to do that, and I didn't prep ahead of time, but they did have a decent amount of favorite points. So
you knew you were hitting the jackpot. Yeah, right. I understand.
So I took them to a park, and you know, if you just look on the favorite points, take them out there, you're probably going to be safe to go.
Yeah, but I remember when I first started in geocaching, and I learned about the difficulty levels. And it's like, okay, yeah, I was finding these nice ones and twos and going that way. And granted, my whole career has pretty much been ones and twos and threes. But the idea...
The story of my geocaching life.
But the idea of, wow, I could go rappelling off the side of a mountain if I wanted to go find a geocache, or go into some amazing terrain to go find a geocache. That thrilled me because it was more than just the here's this mamby-pamby game that you can go and do stuff. You can actually go out and do this extreme if you want.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure.
And go that way. That was enticing to me. That was like, all right, let's go. My body didn't allow me to do it, but it sure as heck sounded like fun.
Well, just the fact that I can, you know, bike 20 miles down a trail and get, you know, a couple hundred caches.
Yeah.
You know, well, yeah, that's more or less, you know, it's just a power trail, but you're still biking 20 miles. I mean, let's be realistic here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's still beating the hell out of your body.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not in tip-top shape, like, you know, I'm definitely not. And, you know, I feel
round is a shape.
You know, I don't feel it when I'm riding. I'm happy-go-lucky. But the next day, you know, when I'm Frankensteining, you know, out of bed because
thank you, pain relievers.
Wind, you know, yeah, you know.
All
so
right.
It does have its, you know, I mean, it's not like, I mean, when back in, you know, like I say, I just hit my anniversary back 8 years ago when I started caching. There wasn't that many skirt hides.
No,
it was more woodsy than skirt.
Yes,
you know? I mean, yeah, I got into very unfamiliar territory because I had to go into the woods.
Yes,
which to me, I'm a Jew boy, you know, coming from the North Shore of Chicago. I wasn't a woodsy kid, you know. Aside maybe overnight camp, I was about as woodsy as I got, you know. So it was now I'm at home in the woods, you know, 8 years later. But I was not a woodsy kid at all.
Try going to North Carolina and going, how many poisonous snakes are there?
Yeah. So it was definitely going out of my comfort zone and going into the woods. But that's because there wasn't that many skirt hides. There wasn't that many park hides. Most of the hides were in the woods,
yeah.
You know, and that's very different now. I mean, granted, there's still woodsy hides, but now you can, you know. Which here's a funny little tidbit to this, a little off topic here. But I got a call today from my two nieces. I have three nieces. Three nieces and a nephew. My two nieces were going geocaching today.
All right.
And they were finding their first cache, and they couldn't find it, and they saw my name on the log. So they're like, oh, let's call Uncle Scott. You know, see where it is. You know, I'm usually a very good phone friend. But
yeah.
The problem was is that, like, I didn't find it.
Oh,
I was
no.
in a group, and so I couldn't tell you where to get. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, after 14,000, it kind of blurs.
It was only April. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh.
I remember hunting it. I remember hunting the cat.
Yeah.
I just didn't find it.
Yeah.
You know, I was with a group of people. I was
right.
with like 700 people. I didn't find it, so I don't know where. I didn't even look at it. You know,
yep.
like, someone said, got it. And I, you know, I went, okay. And, it's, you know.
And away you go.
Yeah. So I'm like. And they were in a really crappy spot too, where most of the caches in that area were crap. And so I tried to tell them. I mean, it was literally their first find, you know. And so how do you say to them, it's a crap hot? Like, I don't know, it's a crap. But most of the caches where you are crap.
Yes.
You know? And so unfortunately, but what's funny is one of my caches were there.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's one of my hides right there. They're like, you put it as premium, Uncle Scott.
Oh, totally way to go,
totally
Uncle Scott.
Right. Sorry. So I have no idea if they found it or not. All I know is I was a phone friend and I was zero help.
It happens.
Sorry, my nieces. I don't know if they found it. They probably didn't find it.
You're going to have to take them out now to actually go
I totally have to take them out now. I know I felt horrible. I totally have to. At least because there's caches near their house. So I don't know why they were where they were. They weren't even near their house. But,
funny.
Yeah. So now I got my two nieces who tried it and I'm sure failed. I'm sure they're like, why does Uncle Scott play that dumb game?
It's no fun. Speaking about amazing creative geocaching containers, I remember when, okay, granted, the absolute first hide I ever found was at the fun part was it was at a bus stop, so that you, to be sneaky and stealthy, you had to wait for the bus to stop, the people to get off the bus, exit the station area, and then leave, and you had about 4 minutes to go and go find the geocache before the next bus comes. So that was the fun part. It ended up being, you know, part of the top of the wall that moved away a little bit, and inside was a pill bottle camouflaged and
sure,
went to mine. Not exactly the most creative hide, but it was pure magic to me back then.
Of course.
For those. But the cool creative hides, the absolute amazing work that geocachers put into their hides, be it being clever on how they hit it, you know, just all the different ways, the camouflage, the everything that they put into it. Mm-hmm. What do we find now?
What do you see, crap?
Yeah, literally. It's hard to even try to tell. I mean, when we've been in the podcast biz a long time, and mm-hmm. telling people, you know what, don't use the Glad containers because they turn to crap, they fill up with water, they're useless. Yeah. I've seen them warp and bend within hours of being placed. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, and it doesn't. It's not ringing in. It doesn't care anymore. It's just I haven't seen it as bad as it was for a few years there, where people were just driving down the road and throwing something out the window, and going that way. But it's not getting much better than that, at least in my humble opinion. Right. The only ones that I've seen that that gave me hope was like WB Tim's. The gadget caches and the work that they put into things like that, and that catching on and moving around, that I loved. But how long are people going to continue to do that where it's easier to just pick a pill bottle?
Right. I guess I'm kind of lucky around here. There are a large number of quality hiders that put out some quality caches around here. There's still a bunch of crap as well, but... yeah, you need to find out who the quality hiders are in your area and do a lot of their, or at least intersperse their caches in with your caching. That way you get your caching happiness factor up.
Yeah. Is favorite point still a good way of judging quality containers? I think so. Or at least quality hides?
Is what'd you say it was?
Is favorite what? Points?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, because I would much rather find the higher favorite point ones in an area and find fewer of those than 10 crap hides.
Yeah. I mean, you know, speaking of really quick crap hides, I just got this log 712, so earlier in the month. Like, what, is that a week ago?
Uh-huh.
A week and a half ago? I have a cache that's in Rolling Meadows. It's a suburb little east of me. It's a lamp skirt. Total lamp skirt.
Yep.
All right. And I got this from this, I'm not going to say the catch name. He has 8 finds, God bless his heart. Okay? And he says, very clever. This is our second find. Very cool to try and find this one, especially without it having a discretion. Maybe make it its difficulty up just a notch.
Oh, my.
So obviously, it was his first lamp skirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's too difficult. I need to up the difficulty on it.
Well, you know, God, your first lamp skirt hide is
like
magical.
Yes.
But then, you know, your 100th, it's like,
oh man,
it's like lock, throw back in there, slam it down, you're out of here.
He wants me to up the difficulty on it.
I love it. Well, it was hidden inside.
I don't know how other people are ever going to find it.
You didn't actually put it up in the poll then. So.
No, it's literally just it's just a pill bottle. I think it's been replaced a couple of times because it's in a pretty muggle heavy spot.
So yeah, it's been quick hide.
I just say just drop. Good Lord, it's a lamp skirt. Drop. You should never DNF a lamp skirt ever.
Yes,
just drop.
Wow,
that's Scotty's fun fact for you guys. Don't ever DNF a lamp skirt. Just drop.
Exactly. You know,
there is the old Velcro in the
well,
in the
I will skirt. Definitely check it very well before
yes.
you drop. But oh yeah, because it's always up top. Oh sure. But
and if the terrain is a 5,
yeah,
look up the pole.
Oh, yeah. Look up the pole.
If
absolutely.
It's a 1.5, 1.5. If you've searched that entire thing and it's definitely not there,
yeah,
you have Scotty's permission to drop.
Yes.
There you go, guys. Go ahead. Don't ever DNF a lamp skirt.
No. Actually, I did. Do one. Did I ever tell you that real quick story? Went to West Virginia Tim's. He had like a class event, so I wife Amy and I went to that, and everybody kept talking about this great lamp skirt hide. It's next to a drugstore, your average parking lot, and it's like, what the hey? Okay, so we're there and we're searching, and there is a pole. Grass, asphalt. That's it. Nothing around it. We're like, it's not up. It's not down. It's what the hey? We looked. I DNF'd it. So that was like the Friday before the Saturday where the event is. Mm-hmm. I go to the event, and there's Tim and everybody, 300 people, laughing their ass off.
At you?
At me, because he made a whole speech about me DNFing one of his lamp skirt hides. Mm-hmm. Now, what they didn't tell you, and I did not even realize this was a thing, is underneath the parking lot, there's a 6-foot diameter drain that goes through the entire parking lot underneath it. Mm-hmm. So where the lamp skirt is, where the actual geocache is 30 feet underneath the lamppost.
Yep.
in the drain thing. So you had to you actually walked midway.
Oh.
You walked midway, you looked up, and there it was up in the top of the So yes. I had no idea.
What was the DT on it?
It was something ridiculous, like a 2. It was literally a 2-2. Because obviously, if you knew, just walk through the drain, there's nothing there. We didn't, you know, the thing was sparkling clean. It wasn't like your standard drains where you have to wade through them.
Right.
This thing was no water, no dirt, perfectly serene through the entire thing. So the terrain was nothing once you knew that that's where you had to go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they had a good laugh at me for that one. That was fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was fun. Geocaching community. If you're trying to explain to a muggle, this is one that I really have no beef with whatsoever. As a whole, the geocaching community, like she had talked about between Pokemon Go and between geocaching, there's no turf wars, so to speak, with geocaching as opposed to Team Red on Pokemon. Great people.
I'm Team Yellow.
Are you? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Team Blue.
Blue, yeah. Just saying.
Yellow, yep.
The nice thing, Scott, Joshua's yellow as well. So I'm just saying.
Yellow's where it's at, man.
So, yeah, the geocaching community is awesome. Just overall, you hear us talk about it over and over. When you've got a commonality between people, and it doesn't matter about the language barrier, it doesn't matter about the country, you say geocaching, they're going to come in and say, hey, you know, let's talk. You know, all you need is a place.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
It's awesome.
Sure, yeah. And that's one of the things that's phenomenal about it. And she even said that, and I agree with it completely. It's a great community. I've met great friends through it. Absolutely.
Now, I have hit areas where people join together at a Pokestop. It's a very light, hey, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. It's simple, it's quick, and people are on their way. Geocaching, you got to get them to shut up once people start talking. I mean,
An FTF party will sit there for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just in puzzles or whatever that you got to sit there and figure out, though, that's the best way to go. Hey, I need a clue. Let me know. And you've got 18 people around you telling you different ways of doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, me and my kids were Pokemoning last night, and we were at a church in Buffalo Grove, and there was what's really nice is there's 5 stops around the church, so you can literally walk around the church. And but when you get back to the original, it's green, it's blue again.
Oh yeah,
so you can literally just walk around the church. And eventually they all became, what's it called? They all got a...
The bags got, full?
What? No. They all... Every Poke Spot had a...
the lures on them.
A lure. All 5 of them had lures.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of Buffalo Grove converged on this poor church.
I
mean, so many people there.
I have one walking. Better for you, and I'm semi ashamed, but I'm not, because I don't have to pay another dollar for Pokeballs. There is a cemetery 2 miles north of where I work. Mm-hmm. It's actually a memorial park that happens to be a cemetery. Mm-hmm. There are 35 Pokestops.
Oh my god.
You don't have. All you'd have to do is drive, and it's like a. You almost have your own procession. It's almost sick. It's a procession line that goes all the way around this 2-mile track of cars,
just
doing
spinning
and filling your bag, baby. I'm just telling you. And I took Amy to it last night. She said this is the coolest thing ever. Oh, I feel terrible, but I don't have to buy anything anymore.
I mean, I was with the kids there for probably an hour and a half.
Yes,
we probably did 6 laps around the church.
Yep.
and I killed all the ball. I think I came out with 30 greats and 30 regulars, and they're gone today. I took a walk today. I took my daily walk, and they were gone by the time. I'm out again.
When we left, we had like 220 Pokeballs.
Oh, my God.
40 or 50 great. I'm in the Ultras now, so I've got a bunch of those. And just your bag is full. Okay, time to leave.
Yeah.
And away you go. So I'm a happy boy. I don't have to pay money anymore because it was starting to add up. I didn't realize those little, what do you mean I ran out of balls? I need to buy more balls. I can't catch this guy, the skater right over here, if I don't have any balls.
I refuse to pay any money to poke.
I will not.
I do not have to worry about that anymore. No. So anyways, that's some of the stuff that I think setting expectations for geocachers, if they're a muggle, that, you know, we like to make it sound exciting because it is exciting when you go out geocaching, but it isn't quite as shiny, pretty, pristine when you go geocaching. You got to expect you're going to get dirty.
You're going to get dirty, as long as it doesn't bother you. I mean, it doesn't bother a lot of people, but
Do you tell them right off the bat if you're not bleeding, you're not geocaching?
No, if you're not eating a spider web, That's the old term. You're not a geocaching to have eaten a web.
Oh, God. One. That's why Amy goes, you go first. Thanks.
Stick. That's why I got the big hat. Yes. I get the big hat and I just put my head down and barrel through.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always have spiders hanging off my hat. I always see I always got the little guys. Sure. You know, like weaving a web off the brim of my hat.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that Lisa had in her video is about in geocaching or in Pokemon, you never have to open up a box of spiders. Yeah. Oh, come on. I've got people that know how to move away diamondback rattlesnakes.
Yep. To me, it's all the tactile. I mean, I like to find something.
That's the difference to me.
It's hiking with a purpose. I'm going and I'm finding something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's something that
I don't miss the fire ants of Houston.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've literally opened up a cache full of fire ants.
Yeah,
a hell of a lot more terrifying than open up a cache full of spiders.
Yes,
at least for anyone that's been bitten by fire ants.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man.
Get rid of this.
Yeah, no doubt.
Me and Jesse were talking. To me, Pokemon Go is literally just walking.
Yeah.
It's walking. Yeah. It's not even hiking. It's walking.
It's walking with some kind of different type of, what's the term I want to use, not disturbance, but it's just a little activity for you to do.
You know, I gave Shane, my five-year-old, my phone, and I kept telling him, Shane, look up, dude. Look up.
Yeah.
You got to look up.
Yeah.
Because he just sit there and he just got his head buried in the phone.
Focus.
And he's tripping over the curbs. I'm like, dude, look up. Stop it and look up.
I'll tell you one little thing before we close out here that wife Amy told me when she got back from the First to Find from the show last week. She literally stopped and said, by the way, my heart was pounding going for the First to Find. The exhilaration that goes into a First to Find. To actually have a First to Find in your hand. She said, Pokemon Go is fun. I love geocaching. That just tells you right there how it is. There's the exhilaration of going for something like that.
No, absolutely. You know, I love First to Finds. Like, you know, I'm 90-some months in a row with one.
Yeah.
You know, it's always fun to get. You know, I never grow tired of them. I'll never grow tired of an FDF.
I think my favorite out of everything is, besides the First to Find exhilaration, is the dough factor. When you look and 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 then you finally find it and it's like, oh, jeez, what? So, yeah,
you know,
I love
amazing,
that.
Especially when you find the pine trees. It's like you can't find it, you can't find it. Then you spot it and you can't not see it.
Yes.
It's like,
how did I miss that?
Yeah, I looked there 20 times.
And it was blue.
You're with another cacher, and the cacher tells you to look up, and it's hanging right
over
there.
Your head. Yes. Yeah. No doubt.
Or the ones, you know, it's funny because whenever I find a hard pine tree, a really hard pine tree, I always tell Jess, I'm like, all right, make a note. Southwest side, you know, stick your arm in because I know people are going to call me.
Sure.
Like, I have to remember where it is. Like, okay, it's, you know, my head high. So, you know, I got to say my head because I'm short. So I go, my head high. So, you know. And so you got to stick your arm all the way in, and you know, and it's up, you know, like you have to remember that stuff.
Yeah.
Really hard ones.
Yeah.
If you're the phone a friend guy.
know, that knows where it is.
Puzzles, with my puzzles, I have to put all my notes in the note field about how I figured out the puzzle because
oh yeah,
I can't remember.
Inevitably, someone's going to ask me about it. It's like, hang on, let me open it up and figure out how I did it. I mean, I had two coworkers ask me about different puzzles within the last week.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, I know for a fact I'll be geocaching in a year. I can't say the same thing about Pokemon.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great with Ingress, thought it was exciting, and after a while it's like, you know, that's not so much. Yeah, and again, it's the thrill.
Next year, I'll still be catching.
Yeah, the thrill of the hunt.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. Well, good stuff. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Taz, for all that. Thank you, fine folks, for stopping on by and giving a listen or a watch to the Geocaching Podcast. Please, please, please consider supporting our show. Throw us money. Just throw us dollar bills. We'll take it. And please tell others about the geocaching. Make it rain. Tell the others about the Geocaching Podcast so they can come in and get some interesting insights and wonderful geocachingness that we do each and every week. All right, guys. Good stuff. I think we can wrap this puppy up. Let's do that. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.